Welcome to the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast, a podcast about this nursing life. I'm Nicole Nash-Arnold from Nurse Manager HQ.
And I'm Sue Walker from the Nursing CPD Institute. And together each week, we seek out interesting people to discover what a red-hot nursing life looks like.
Today I welcome to this Nursing Life microphone is Leslie Cornwall. Leslie owns and operates Mid Michigan Midwifery over in the United States as a certified nurse midwife, where her practice supports women in perinatal care, home births, as well as postpartum and newborn care. Leslie completed her Masters of Midwifery in 2012 after qualifying as a nurse in 2008, and her mission is about providing women-centered care to her community, so that women's past experiences and culture will help shape the course of the care for that family. Leslie is passionate about the power of home births. So, Leslie, I actually do have two confessions to make at the altar of midwifery. Secretly, number one, I've always wanted to be a midwife. And yet, confession number two is that I've actually had two cesarean sections, both elective, because I'm a theatre nurse and just saw the deliveries that went wrong and it spooked me totally into opting for cesareans. So it's not that I was too posh to push, I promise, but do you still want to talk to me?
Well, Nicole, you're so sweet. I think that a lot of women feel how you do. There's a lot of fear around birth across the world, and it's in a lot of countries, the C-section rate is much higher because of that fear and just choosing epidurals and choosing a path that birth is a scary process, and our goal as midwives is to support women whatever direction they pick, because they picked what was best for them, but to support them in that decision making. So yes, I would love to still talk to you.
Seriously though, when I read on your website, I had a feeling that you might forgive me when you had said that there are many ways to make a decision and each person's past experiences and culture will shape the course of what's best for their family. So tell me about your journey and how your past experiences shaped where you are right now, even professionally.
I was going to say, we only got 20 minutes. I could write a book for you. to make it a shorter story, I knew when I was 16, I wanted to be a midwife. I'm not terribly old. I'm only 34. But I knew I had this calling. Nobody in my family had done home births. Nobody in my family had done midwives. I grew up in a larger family. My dad had 10 children, so I had lots of cousins to babysit and watch. And I just knew I wanted to support women in some shape or form with my passion and career over time. And I saw a show that talked about midwives. I never heard of that word. And the more I dug into a midwife, the more I was like, this is what somebody can do for a living. This is like the most amazing time in a woman's life. And I can actually get paid by somebody to do this. This was like, I felt like the stars had aligned to me. So I spent a lot of time interviewing a lot of midwives in the area because it wasn't the cultural norm. And I was an oldest child, type A personality. And I learned the different kinds of midwives in the United States. We have certified nurse midwives that have a master's in nursing, typically practice in the hospital setting. But there are a few that do home births. Certified professional midwives, which is more of an international certification from NARM, the North American Registry of Midwives. And they tend to be more of the home birth center midwives. It's more of an apprenticeship versus like a nursing training. And then in the East Coast, there's a few states that have certified midwives. So they're very similar to a nurse midwife. Their undergraduate isn't in nursing. It's in another, usually a science of some kind. So I had a lot of thoughts. Okay, I'm like, I want to be a midwife. There's lots of kinds of midwives. There's a lot of choices. I chose to be a nurse midwife because in Michigan, current regulations were a little more autonomous for nurse midwives. Could be in the home setting, but I also could get hospital privileges for transfers if a woman needed additional support or a C-section or an epidural. I wanted to be able to serve both sides of women's needs. So the nurse midwife fit my personality. So it's been an amazing journey. I've been with my husband for 15 years. I was 19 in a nursing school. It was funny. I was like, I knew I was going to be a home birth midwife. And so he's been a stay-at-home dad the last 10 years and supporting all my dreams. I've had three boys all at home myself. And I've gotten in the United States, the nice thing is there's so much opportunity that I could I've practiced in the hospital. I practice in high risk, big hospitals. I practice in smaller community hospitals. I practice in a home setting. I've ran my own home birth center practice. You can do almost anything being a nurse midwife in the United States. So I've been to Alaska practicing, Indiana, Michigan, Massachusetts. So I like to travel and see different places. So I've been very blessed with the career choice I picked. But as my kids got older, and I just wanted to simplify, there are not as many home birth options in my community. And they're getting less and less just because there's burnout. Like being available on call is a hard demand for a solo midwife. Some of the regulations are getting a little tougher. So yes, there's a lot with this opportunity, but I've been so blessed the path I've been on.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. Sue and I have chatted to a number of nursepreneurs about independent practice here in Australia. So I'm interested in hearing about your experience from a very different professional world to ours here in Australia as to yours in America. Are American nurses and midwives less daunted by the idea of independent practice than our nurses here are in Australia? Or were you just as intimidated as any of us when you first popped out your shingle as open for business?
When I started my practice, it is not the norm of most midwives in the United States. Most midwives are nurse midwives and they tend to be in the hospital. So opening up your own business is definitely an outlier for nurse midwives. For certified professional midwives, yeah, that's the only way they can practice. There aren't hospital privileges. When they go into choosing that route to be a midwife, it's already automatic. They knew they were going to open a business on their own. Nurses aren't trained to run a business. They're trained to be an assistant to a doctor. So it's a very big paradigm shift for many nurse midwives to run their own private practices. I've always had that driven personality that I've been employed by other places, but I do better being independent contractor, doing my own mission and improving processes and making change on an individual level. So it hasn't ever scared me, but I know some of my colleagues that I just think I'm so brave or risky. And it's like, you don't go to business school, you go to midwifery school. So that's something you have to learn on your own afterwards to be successful at it.
Yeah, that's really true. Home births here in Australia are relatively rare. And I had a look at the Royal Australian and New Zealand College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and a recent report cited that less than 1% of births in Australia and almost 4% of births in New Zealand planned home births. What about American women? Are they more likely to opt for a home birth? And I qualify that question by, when I thought about asking you this, is that Australian and New Zealand rates of home birth might be low because there's really not an option that's widely available. And therefore, rates are lower than they otherwise would be if it was more widespread. Do you know what I mean? A bit of a chicken and the egg thing there. But are American women more likely to have a home birth?
I think we do have very similar challenges going on in the United States. It's about 1% of the population chooses out-of-hospital births. There aren't that many options. There's a lot of restrictions in practice for midwives. I know that my colleagues in Michigan, all of the ones that are practicing, I can think of 15 off the top of my head in the state of Michigan. They're all very busy. They get busy the first trimester. They have waiting lists. Like there's definitely a demand in with professional burnout and with the restrictions in practice and not having the business foundation. I think there's a lot of barriers to be successful private practices long term. I've been amazed how many home birth midwives. I mean, the burnout, there's a study that average United States midwife chooses a totally different career in about 5 to 7 years. And so that doesn't help with the turnover. Yeah. But with the knowledge at our fingertips, home birth is getting more and more popular. Healthcare cost is insanely expensive in the United States and it goes up and up. So we have a lot of women choose home birth maybe because it wasn't their initial preference choice, but they can't afford a hospital birth. But once they get and they learn the different reasons that bring women to home births can be a more personalized experience, lower complications, cost effective. Some people just feel more comfortable in their home. I mean, the definition of hospital is a sick house. So it's really your upbringing and your comfort level. Some women have never been in the hospital their entire life. They're healthy. They're normal. So it's a big shift to choose to have a baby in that setting if that's not your norm or for other factors.
Yeah. Privately practicing midwives here are relatively rare as well. And one of the great challenges for midwives is the notion of vexatious reporting. And according to the Australian College of Midwives, it would appear that midwives bear the burden more than other nurses and midwives in Australia of over-reporting to the Australian Nursing and Midwifery for reasons that are complex and often bewildering to the group, to this group in our profession. Is that something that happens in your world as well?
Yeah, unfortunately, it does. I think any type of minority out of a typical profession, so me being a nurse midwife, most of my colleagues are in the hospital setting. They directly work underneath of a physician under a hospital practice. They work side by side regularly with physicians. They get that relationship, that rapport. So as a certified nurse midwife, I collaborate with physicians regularly, but it's more of an independent relationship to an independent relationship. It's not a hierarchy. And so it's not the cultural norm for sure. We do, I think, as out-of-hospital midwives, more independent midwives, get more reporting to our state. We don't have vexatious reporting here. What we have is you have a license within your state, and if a healthcare provider has a concern with how you're practicing, you do a transfer to the hospital, and they felt maybe the outcome could have been prevented in the path of the decisions you make. They can put a complaint towards your license, and then you have to go to the nursing board. There's not actually a midwifery board for nurse midwives in Michigan. So I'm held to a more of a medical nursing style because it's a certification in the state of Michigan. So there are barriers. I personally think that midwives in general are a little more nervous about liability risk in the United States and getting sued more than they are about getting complained to and having to go to the state.
Yeah. What has been your most treasured moment as an independent midwife advocating for women in your practice?
I think the biggest thing is just being able to provide to women normal birth. We can do a non-epiduralized, non-medicalized birth in the hospital setting, but when we are truly able to see an instinctual birth, that we're not getting outside influences, I'm not telling her how to birth her baby, I'm not giving her any predisposed thoughts of how she should birth her baby, that's what's phenomenal to me. I've taken care of so many cultural backgrounds, and the influence of culture on birth is fascinating to me. So first-time moms birth very different at home than women that have been traumatized by a hospital birth in the past. My favorite birth of all time was a woman who was deaf and had never heard another woman labor or how she was instinctually supposed to act during birth. That was the most phenomenal labor. You know, I'm really awed by the power of women and instincts when we trust them.
Yeah, amazing. Leslie, with all of the work that you've done as a privately practicing midwife, what do you think all nurses and midwives should know so that they could live their best nursing life?
I think all nurses and midwives, going back to your passion of why you chose this profession, why you chose this path for your life, and going back to the basics, I think sometimes we get so frustrated by things outside of our control, regulations, healthcare costs, barriers to access to your services, trying to create a work-life balance, being private practice. I a lot of times have to just get back to why did I do this and why is my skills and my knowledge so important to be able to offer to women. It's amazing to me.
Sounds amazing. Leslie, thanks so much for being our guest at the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium podcast today and sharing with us the inspiration you set as a fabulously enterprising nursepreneur, sister.
Thank you very, very much for having me on, Nicole. It's been an honor, and I love doing international podcasts, and so much I learn about all the different ways that midwives and nurses can offer services to women.
Thanks so much. Well, Sue, our first American interviewee.
How wonderful was that?
We're international now, sister.
Loved, as we should be.
She was great, hey?
I was amazed, Nick, that I believed there would be far more differences than similarities.
I did too.
But I was amazed that it was all same.
I know. I was really expecting that, because I did the research before I interviewed her, that and found that Australian home births are around 1%, and then New Zealand was 4%, which is huge compared to us. And I thought, oh, America will be massive. So it shocked me when she said, no, we're about the same as that as well.
Yeah, it was very interesting. The other point that she did make in regards to women are choosing home birth because they can't afford to birth in a hospital.
That's amazing, isn't it?
That was such a sad reflection on a health system.
I've got to get someone on, I think, who's really familiar with the American system, because it's so perplexing to me and I really want to understand it more. It's so different to what we have in Australia with the public system and the private system and the fact that everybody has access to healthcare. So it's bewildering. It's just bewildering to me, and I'd like to really understand it much more. And particularly when she said that, it was, you know, one of many, many reasons. But I thought, wow, I've got to get my head around this. It's fascinating.
It would be interesting. I think that's your homework.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on it.
No. And she absolutely adored what she did.
Yeah.
And so I thought that was a lovely thing. And I thought it's sad, though, when she was talking about her colleagues, that 5 to 7 years, there's a lot of them that choose to change their career.
Mm. Burnout catches up with us all, doesn't it?
It does. It does. But the way Leslie was explaining it, it appeared to be because of the ramifications or the stress related to the system rather than just the work itself.
Mm. I've chatted to a number of midwives over the years, and a couple of them who are eligible midwives, of course, as opposed to her. The name of her role in America is a clinical nurse midwife, and they do bear that burden of that stress and the anxiety and the vexatious reporting or the over-reporting. And whereas for Leslie, it was more the fear of litigation, which, of course, is quite commonly known about America, and I think we're closely behind them, you know,
we're running
close second.
We're running to catch up with them.
Yeah, exactly. And so the stress of how autonomous they are in that role must be profound.
Well, I think if you're more worried about a client suing you than you are being reported to the state, that says a lot about the system in which you would work. But when she was speaking about the births and the differences between how she would need to practice if she was within a hospital setting as opposed to how she practices within a home birth setting, was really quite lovely.
Yeah, that is really beautiful. And midwives who are passionate advocates of home births find it quite distressing, I think might be the right word, when they bear witness to the level of intervention that goes on in a hospital as opposed to, you know, what can go on in a home, which is, you know, natural and it's all very controlled and they get to make decisions. And, you know, it's the old Call the Midwife thing. I love that show. Do you love that show?
I've never watched it, but I know you love it.
Oh, you've got to watch an episode because they do a really good job, in my view, of capturing that time in nursing and midwifery's history, which is classic for that age group, for where nursing was a vocation, as opposed to then with the baby boomers made nursing a profession and now it's, you know, something quite different for millennials. But it captures that home birth, is that in the 50s, you know, you need to be high risk pregnancy, like a high risk or things have gone belly up. In terms of that's when you go to a hospital, and yet the vast majority of women birthed at home. And so somewhere along the last 70 years, it's 99% of women are having a hospital birth. So it is interesting when she made the point that hospitals are a place. I can't remember what she said the word hospital meant, but basically hospitals are a disease, disorder and dysfunction. And you can't really apply any of those words to a normal, healthy, progressive pregnancy.
No. And to be able to, and I think it's normal is the word, like women have been doing this for quite a long time and, you know, have ownership of the process, really. Mm. And the fact that she or Leslie identified that what they can do at home is like there's no one way to birth. It's how you get into your body and how your body's going to react. And the midwife's there to maintain a safe environment and guide you through the process. There are times of stress within it.
Mm.
Whereas it came home to me with the first time mother. So the way a first-time mother births a baby in a hospital based on her Leslie's experience was far different to when that first-time mother births at home.
Yeah.
I mean, good God, you know, I can only speak from my own personal experience, but the level of anxiety of like, well, here we go.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're halfway through this, it's, you know, why someone tell me. You know, someone should have identified this to me before, because there may have been a different decision made.
I did not give full and free consent to this process when I signed up for it. There
is no way I gave informed consent for this to occur, I'm just saying. And it is very, very difficult. And to be able to manage that differently and assist a woman to do that, obviously Leslie has found that to be a fabulous thing, you know, within her practice. And I don't want to detract from, in Australia, we have some fabulous, fabulous birthing units.
Yes, I'd
birthing
agree.
Units, fabulous midwives. But we also have a ever-increasing number of midwives who are wanting to meet the requests from clients, you know, to be able to birth at home.
Mm.
It's horses for courses, and I don't think none of us should judge a woman for the choice she makes. She makes it based on the information she has at the time, and she's entitled to birth that child wherever she likes. As long as she's got, you know, the health professionals that she might need around her that are going to support her in that choice. I still come back to, I still can't believe that women would have to choose to birth at home because of cost. That's stuck in my head.
I've got to explore that more. And I think you're right in the home birth thing is relatively controversial, but if there is a demand for it and it can be made safe, then it's crazy not to facilitate that. And I mean, I had two elective cesareans, so clearly I am not the horse for that course because I was so paranoid about the whole process. But there are lots of women that have the most amazing, joyous experiences in their own home with, you know, toddlers and dad and everything else. And it seems really special, I must say.
No, and it's not like my, my birthing experience is 30 years ago. But even then, you know, like I had colleagues who were birthing at home then. And I birthed in a hospital and stayed long enough for him to have for the Guthrie's test to be done and then went home. And then there are some friends of mine who have had four, and on the fourth one, they would have stayed in hospital for 4 months and let the baby go home with the father. So I just think the system has to be flexible to do whatever the woman wants it to do. And it shouldn't be owned by a profession, I don't think.
No, I think so. You're absolutely dead right on that. I'll have to get my other homework might be getting an eligible midwife in Australia to come and have a chat to us about what it looks like in Australia as well, as opposed to Leslie's experience. It's probably exactly the same, except obviously the requirements and the process is quite different. An eligible midwife is quite arduous, I think, but I think it'd be worth exploring because there's probably lots of people out there in Australia listening who would dearly love to do that.
I think so too. It would be interesting to compare. I was interested when Leslie was identifying the state in which she was registered and how that state legislation allowed her to practice, where we have a national framework. So it obviously is dependent on state jurisdiction in the United States as into to what can and can't be done. But I did love the way that Leslie was excited about the work that she did and found joy and beauty in being able to assist those women to do that. And I thought that was lovely. I think that's a lovely place to find yourself within a working environment. But certainly the fear of litigation as opposed to reporting was a surprise to me too.
Yeah, it's a joy to listen to someone who's so passionate and absolutely loves what they do. I think it never ceases to be fun.
No, I agree. All right, sister, well, I look forward to your homework.
I'm on it.
Lovely.
See you next time.
Look forward to it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Nursing and Midwifery Emporium. Make sure you visit us at the website www.nmemporium.com to subscribe to the podcast.
And if you'd like to put someone forward for us to interview, go to the same website and just click on the button.
See you guys.
Take care. Bye.